I want to share a quick video. I want to touch about some things on Bible prophecy. I apologize for my voice. Not good, but anyway, endure with me, okay? And we'll make it through. So this is from Prophecy News Watch, and just some spattering of things that are going on in this past month in our world. And I thought you would find this insightful. And then I've got some other items I want to share with you. Then we'll be in the book, back to the book of Jeremiah. It seems like we've been away for quite some time. We'll get started again. So can we go ahead?
Here's another Prophecy News Watch update for May 2017. Cybersecurity experts are warning that ransomware, the computer virus responsible for a global cyber attack, is only just getting started, and many U.S. users are at risk. Ransomware locks down all the files on an infected computer and asks the owner to pay in order to regain control of them. The Israeli Sanhedrin is planning to reenact a ceremony officially establishing the borders of Jerusalem for purposes of reinstating the temple service. Last performed in the 6th century, this was the final step before beginning the sacrifices. But today, it is also meant as a powerful and timely political statement. A new effort is underway at the UN to introduce a global blasphemy law that prohibits any internet material to be critical of Islam. The aim is not only to remove content deemed offensive to Islam, but to find out who posted it and prosecute them. Another company has joined the ranks of encouraging its employees to become chipped. Swedish company Epicenter has implanted 150 of its employees with microchips that allows them to operate printers and open doors. There's a new campaign to extend Canadian assisted suicide laws beyond the terminally ill to include the mentally ill. The expression mental illness, however, is a broad category that opens up tens of thousands to the dangers of assisted suicide. Want to know more? Get the full story behind these headlines by signing up for a free Prophecy News Watch subscription right now at prophecynewswatch.com.
We see that the world is moving rather swiftly towards the book of Revelation. God has already foretold everything that's happening in our world through his prophets. Ezekiel has told us about the war that is imminent in the Middle East. He actually lists the nations that will be involved, and they are all Islamic, including Gog and Magog, which is Russia, as well as Turkey, which is Gomer, listed as Gomer and Togarmah from the Old Testament. It's that region, as well as, of course, Persia, Iran. It also says that Sheba and Dedan will be on the sidelines watching, not stopping anything, but just watching. If you don't know who Sheba and Dedan is, it's Saudi Arabia. And they like to sit back and watch because they want to protect their oil. That's all they're concerned about. Oh, they incite Wahhabism in Islam, which is the terrorist activities of Sunni Islam. Whereas Iran practices Shia Islam, and they, of course, have been sponsors of terrorism for many, many years, since the Ayatollah took over back in the 70s, which was through the Carter administration, by the way, but I won't go there. Anyway, we find also that the Bible talks about a mark of the beast, a mark that will be placed on the hand and on the forehead. And you see Europe moving forward as that company, a Swedish company, over 150 employees have been chipped. Hey, you're not going to chip me. Forget that noise. Nothing's going in my skin. But yet the culture is being trained. Even Dr. Oz, I've shown you that one before. Dr. Oz talking about this new technology that's going to be great for all people of planet Earth. And then you have Mark Zuckerberg. Of Facebook, who just gave a speech at Harvard University, talking about how we're no longer American citizens, but we're all to be global citizens. If you didn't hear his speech, you should listen to it. Also, he spoke about that we need a universal basic wage. What does that mean? It's just a new terminology for socialism. which leads to communism. You see, the government will determine how much you're to make. And if you're making too much, they take it away from you and distribute it. Really, what happens, they distribute it amongst themselves. In any socialist country, the best place to be employed is in the government, because they will always take care of themselves. And our government is just as guilty. They have their own health care plan. They have their own retirement plans, which are completely different from us peasants. You see, when you leave the republic, which is ruled by laws, and you step into a democracy, which is ruled by majority rules, it is a slippery slope that then leads to socialism, communism, and tyranny. And this is why we must be vigilant as American citizens to get people in office that will uphold the republic, one republic for which it stands, amen? This nation as a republic. We are built upon laws. It's called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Very important to understand that. So many people, they have not, unfortunately, been taught history because they've eliminated history and civil law from the universities as well as from high schools and junior highs and so forth. And they've replaced it with social ideas, secularism, humanism, relativism, universalism. All this has been taking place over the last 40 years. And they know that if they control the textbooks of a generation, they'll have that generation for the rest of the existence of the nation. Hitler declared, just give me the textbooks for one generation and I'll control the nation. And we have, unfortunately, allowed this to take place in these United States of America. Now we have a bit of a reprieve with a new president, who seems to be conservative, who seemed to put in someone who's conservative into the Department of Education. So we pray for her, DeVos, and President Trump. We just had our first president, is the first United States president that's gone to the Western Wall and said a prayer in Jerusalem. I believe that God will bless Donald Trump for that. And the world is, they don't know how to take this guy. I kind of like that. He's not the run-of-the-mill, typical, let's-just-get-along politician. And I like him saying, I believe in America first. I think that's good. We need to be taking care of ourselves. That's why you and I were given a Declaration of Independence, not a Declaration of Dependence. We don't depend on the rest of the world. We're self-sufficient people. It is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You will receive what you achieve. Thank goodness. I like that. That's our way of life. It's also the way of God. God says, as you do more for me, I will reward you, therefore, in heaven. If you do little for me, you get little rewards. If you do much, you get great rewards. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with rewards. I gave you 5 talents. You invested. You got 5 back. I gave you 2 talents. You invested, you took what you had, and you get 2 back. Amen. See, God creates us to achieve and to move forward. And this is what the founding fathers understood when it came to a healthy government and a healthy country, economically and civilly. But we've been leaving that through our universities. Oh, I also have a cure. Are you ready for this? I do a lot of thinking from time to time. You know, everybody's complaining about the college tuitions and how the American people need to just pay off all the college students' tuitions, right? I have a better plan. Are you ready? Let the colleges pay off the college tuitions. Let the universities pay for it. It is a 12-to-1 ratio, 12 liberals to 1 conservative in the universities. They need to practice what they preach. You believe in socialism, redistribute the wealth, whether you have these billion-dollar endowments and all this money, these huge universities, and they all need to gather together and say, you know what, students, all your debt is now forgiven. Let them pay for it. Oh, no, that won't work. No, they want to put the load on us, the regular people, because remember, they work for the government. They work for a socialist government. So they won't take that step because they got to keep their money. They're greedy and they love their power. Anyway, you may disagree with me. That's okay. Now, I love teachers, so don't take it as a personal thing. I love teachers, but you know what? What's happened in our country? It's been wrong for many years, and it's time to change. We'll see what happens under President Trump. Keep him in your prayers. Let me tell you what else is going on. Decline in church attendance has been the focus of dire predictions for decades now, often attributed to a rise in secularism in American culture, and that corresponds to a decay in the nation's moral fabric. A new Barna study raises another interesting possibility, however. Quote, Americans who love Jesus but not the church. Forgoing church attendance for more personal and individual expressions of faith, this group poses several interesting questions to researchers. In this shift, a long-term trend or simply generational change likely to revert. Does lack of attendance correlate with lack of knowledge or belief in the Bible? Does this indicate fundamental shift in Christianity and what could be the cause? The drop in church attendance is not seen uniformly across all age groups, nor in all parts of the country. Barna found that the group of Christians that has quote-unquote de-churched, that is to say previously been regular churchgoers who continue to profess Christian beliefs but who have not attended church in the last 6 months, is composed of 60% women, 80% of whom are between the ages of 33 and 70. It also says, geographically speaking, the Christians who have stopped attending church tended to be white, 63%, and are distributed almost evenly among the South, Midwest, West, with only 13% hailing from the Northeast. In an interesting data point, 25% of the D-Church survey respondents were Republicans and 30% Democrats, a political affiliation which may not explain the shift entirely. It is possible that the opposite is true, as well as with mainline churches that have been increasingly liberal in recent years, at times to the point of contradicting biblical teachings. This is a sign of the last days. People don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want it. They want to go to heaven. They want fire insurance, but they don't want to have to live for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, let a man deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus says that we're to abide in his word, and his word is to abide in us. God tells us that we're to learn the whole word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Even Revelation gives us that final warning. He says, if you take away from my word, I'll take your name out of the book of life. If you add to my word, I'm going to add the plagues of this book to your life. And if any pastor isn't preaching the book of Revelation, shame on them. If they don't know how to teach it, just call me. I'm ready to help you out. Okay? It's a simple book. It's a simple book. Just call. But you know what? You know why they don't like to teach it? I'll be straight up. Because it's judgment. It doesn't fit the Disneyland Christianity of today. It talks about judgment of the world. It doesn't fit the motivational speakers of today that are in the pulpits that have turned the church into motivational places, country clubs, instead of a place of discipleship and educating people from Genesis to Revelation. Today in the church, they don't believe in a six-day creation. How sad is that? I've even talked to some that believe the story of Adam and Eve is just a mythological story. How sad is that? There's some that hunt and peck throughout the Bible and say, well, we think this is for today, but this is too judgmental. We don't want it. No, 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 no. No, no, no. We teach the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible, so help me God. Amen? You see, we do this because we have to be people of the Word. The Church of Philadelphia, the book of Revelation chapter 3, declares, because you've kept my word, you've not denied my name, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. My friends, I will continue to tell you that scripture to the day I die. I will continue to preach the word of God until the day I die. I will tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ till the day I die. And you know what? If we end up down to one person, it doesn't matter to me. I must fulfill the calling of God and what he has demanded all preachers, all pastors to do. And he says in Timothy, preach the word. For there will be a day when the people will heap up to themselves preachers who will tickle their ears. And we're in that day. We're in that day. This is the day of numbers and money instead of teaching through the entire Bible. And this was the problem in Jeremiah's day. Let me give you a little bit of history when Jeremiah was around. This is good history, but it was only for a moment in time. Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Chapter 35. Jeremiah is mentioned in chapter 36. No, chapter 34 and 35 of 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Go to chapter 34. I apologize. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Can you imagine 8 years old? Anybody got an 8-year old? What would that be like? But God had called him. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was, here's your key word, right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Every preacher must do what is right in the sight of the Lord. It then says, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Political pressure, societal pressure, religious pressure was not going to sway this young king. He was sold out to God. Not a perfect man, but sold out to God and to the faith. See, this is where we cannot compromise our lives, nor the church, nor the pulpit. For in the 8th year of the reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars, which were above them, he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered them on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priest on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. This is a king, not only a man of the word of God, but he's a man of action. That has to be us as Christians. We're men and women of the word of God, and we're men of action. We're not going to embrace this world and its altars, its images. We're not going to embrace its immoralities. We're not going to embrace its ideologies. We're going to embrace God. I don't care what they say about me. You really believe that God created these things? You don't believe in evolution? Are you nuts? Yeah, no, I'm not nuts. You're nuts. To believe we came from monkeys? Are you serious? What have you been smoking, man? Well, I'm a professor. Pfft. You professing what? Where's the missing link, my friend? Come on, show me. Challenge them. Well, it's out there somewhere. We just haven't found it yet. Yeah, because it doesn't exist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you have a special holiday. It's called April 1st. Amen. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, and Maasiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. The house of the Lord was in disrepair. How tragic it is to watch a church fall apart because the pastor doesn't care. Here he's been given a gift, the body of Christ and the building to worship in, and he doesn't have enough on the ball to keep it clean, to keep it presentable, to do the right things. You see, it's important for us that we realize this is a gift of God. This building, this air conditioning, these cushy seats that we have, to me, it's all a gift of God. I know what it's like to meet in schools. I know what it's like to meet in parks. I know what it's like not to be in schools where it's in the middle of the summer and the kids are dying, the adults are dying with the heat. And I appreciate deeply everything God has given us. Everything. The computers, the projectors, the lighting, everything. I don't want to be extravagant, but I do want to be relevant and make it a place where we can come and we can learn and we can grow, and so can the kids. And we'll do our very best. But we don't need a crystal cathedral to worship God. This is a warehouse. It's a warehouse. That's what it is, the steel building. It's called Miracle Trust. I found it on the internet. We got a great price on it. We can build it. Let's go. Then we'll just build the inside and try to make it look nice. Make it comfortable. You see, the house of the Lord was in disrepair. Then they put it to the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Danath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari and Zechariah and Meshulam. If you're pregnant right now, here's some names for your kids. But anyway, of the sons of the Kohathites to supervise. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, who were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? He found it. You'd think it would be all over. You'd think it would be something that everybody knew where it was. Hey, look what I found. I found the law of the Lord. Really? What's it say? That's like saying, hey, I found a Bible. What's a Bible? What does it say? The problem with so many churches today is they don't even bring Bibles to church. Now, I don't care if you use your phone and you got a Bible in it or an iPad, or a laptop. It doesn't matter to me. But by golly, we better open that book. We better read through the scriptures. We better learn and grow. Amen. It's enough to make you cry. I understand. But now, churches, it's about entertainment instead of education. You know, our services in the morning are a little bit long. I confess. The preacher's a little windy. We need to work on him. But I figured this way. You got out of bed in the morning. You got dressed. You got everybody together in your car. You drove down here. You didn't drive down here for Taco Bell to drive through. I want to give you a meal. So when you walk away, you're well fed. Some of you I only get once a week. Some of you come twice a week. Some may come three times a week. Sometimes you go to other fellowships, home fellowships or whatever it might be, or different Bible studies. God bless you. But for the majority of the church, they come Sunday morning and that's it. Now, if they think I'm too long, so be it. But I just feel like we've got to stay in the Word of God. We've got to go through the Word of God. We've got to learn the Word of God. I don't like to teach beyond the seat of understanding. You know, it gets a little bit too much, so I got you comfortable chairs. But I hope and pray that you learn and you grow. That's my heart's desire. Now, we find here, we found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. I want you to drop down to verse 21, where it says, go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. Here's your key words, to do according to all that is written in this book. You and I are called to learn the word of God, and you and I are called to be doers of the word of God. Amen. Now, it's a good work. It's a good do. You know, you do, and you get blessed when you do the word of God. When you repent of sin, it's to protect you and provide for you. When you do right, you get blessed. You bless others, and they bless you. So when we read the word, we study the word, we learn the word, God blesses our lives and uses our lives. It's awesome. Now, if we jump over to chapter 35, go to verse 25. I'm sorry, apologize. The Bible says here, go to verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to the fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archer shot King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, take me away, for I'm severely wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, so he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Now here's your key, verse 25. Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. And to this day, all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the laments. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah was his goodness, or according to what was written in the law of the Lord. And his deeds, from the first to the last, indeed are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Jeremiah is mentioned here. And Jeremiah, go with me, Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. He knows what's going to happen to Judah. Josiah's dead. He's gone. He knows the people are going to compromise. You see, we are told in these last days that there's going to be a church with us called Laodicea. It's going to be a lukewarm church. Now, what is our goal? Our goal isn't to point our finger at them. Our goal is to get them out of that lukewarm church into the Church of Philadelphia, into the Word of God. And this is vitally important for us as a church of the last days. The people recognize how deeply they need God's Word. The way you have revival in a city, in a country, in a state, whatever, is through revival. The Word of God is found, and the Word of God is preached, and the Word of God is taught, from Genesis to Revelation. In other words, you cover the whole spectrum of the book. Jeremiah knows that they are going to leave the Lord and judgment is coming as God has spoken to him. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to wipe out Judah. They're going to take them into 70 years of captivity. It's going to be horrible. Many are going to die. Women are going to be raped. Children are going to be killed. They're going to be enslaved. He sees it coming. And he's trying to warn them in Jeremiah. He's trying to tell them, guys, repent before God. Let's get right with God. Let's stay right with God. What do I see coming? What do you see coming? We see the tribulation coming. The great tribulation that will come upon the whole world of which has never happened before. Jesus said in Matthew 24, times of great judgment, times of great cataclysmic judgment, times of massive deception, tremendous deception in our world. And so we are called, like a Jeremiah, in these last days, to warn the people, to proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ. But we all must do it with family, with friends, with co-workers, with strangers, via the internet, the mission field. We all must be doing this because God has called us to be proclaimers of the gospel. He's called us to be ambassadors for Christ. You know the truth, so do I, and we cannot hold it in. You cannot hold it in. You have to release it. The truth about Jesus Christ, the great salvation he's given us, the truth about our world today, the truth about the coming Antichrist, the truth about the mark of the beast. Boy, that little Swedish video with 150 employees, what a great tool to use as for witnessing. Just, hey, watch this video. What do you think about this? 150 employees getting chipped. Or about the one with Dr. Oz and the chip. Show people that, and then take them right to the book of Revelation chapter 13 and say, what do you think? You think this is the same thing? It's happening in the last days. And there'll be a time where nobody can buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast, 666. Daryl, you're going to scare them. You bet. I want to scare the hell right out of them. And I want them to go to heaven. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Amen. I was afraid of going to hell. That's why I came to Christ. Amen. Somebody told me I was a sinner. I thought I was an American Christian. And everybody's doing it. Is God going to send us all to hell? And you know what the brother said? Yes. You're going to hell, Daryl. Moi? That's the only French that I know. Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, that haunted me for weeks till I came to Christ, April the 4th, 1979. Because that man loved me enough to tell me the truth. God bless him. God bless him. And God bless the others that shared me the love of Jesus Christ. You see, you are the man, you are the woman right now in people's lives. And you are called, and I am called, to share the gospel with people. If they don't receive it, what should I do? Go home into my closet and cry. No, what did Jesus say to the disciples? Shake the dust off your feet, man. Get it off. Go to the next one. They don't, shake it off. Shake it off, man. Shake it off. Go to the next one. Keep going to the next one. The gospel message is a message of repentance and the remission of sins. It's not a message of material blessings. Amen. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. So let's make sure our message is straight on. Luke 24, Jesus said, go, therefore, and preach repentance in my name and the remission of sins. That's the gospel message. When you repent, ask Christ to be your Savior, you turn from your sinful ways, your sins will be forgiven, and God will come into your life. Christ will fill your heart. It'll change your life. But let's get rid of this foolishness that you come to God so that you can get blessed. You come to God to get saved, and then you will get blessed. But you don't come with the wrong motivation of heart that you, if things don't work out, just leave God. You know, this prosperity doctrine is hideous. Chapter 11, I got to get going. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Key word right here. Obey my voice and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God. That I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I answered and said, so be it, Lord. Now, when we read this, can we associate this in any part of the New Testament? Well, the parable of the sower. The Bible says if you come to Christ, and you're going to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. But he also says to those that will hear the message and it will penetrate their heart, but the cares and the riches and the pleasures and the parties of this world is going to take them away. They'll go back to the world. It also says that the seed of the word will come to their heart, but because they're persecuted, not everybody likes them, they'll also leave the Lord. And then there's the hardened heart. Or how about turn with me to John 15. There's a good passage. You know, the Bible says that God changeth not. Amen? I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So some people think, oh, God of the Old Testament, ooh, he was so judgmental. No, he's just as judgmental in the New Testament. And he was very gracious and merciful in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. I want you to think about this. God was still calling his people to him when they were taking their babies and sacrificing them on the heated arms, the red, fiery, iron arms of the god of the altar, Molech. So they would have prosperity in life. And God put up with them, trying to bring them to himself for a period of time until finally enough is enough. And I look to America and I think the same things. It's only a matter of time where we are going to be judged. I don't wish that upon us. I don't want that upon us. God wants us, and we all want, let's repent. Let's get right with God. Let's not do these things any longer. But the government seems to approve of everything that is against God. Our government, one nation under God. Our government, where the Creator is mentioned in our declaration. Our government, where on the money it says, in God we trust. No, it's not Islamic God, Allah. There comes a point in time where God says, enough is enough. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He says, abide in me, live in me, follow me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. God hasn't changed. If you don't bear fruit, guess what? The branch is withered. It produces nothing. It's cut off and it's cast into the fire. It's cast into hell. But weren't you one time connected? What happened? But nobody can pull you out of God's hand. But you can be slapping the hand of God away from you. I don't want your hand. I don't want to be in your hand. Nobody can take you out of his hand. Nobody. Not the devil. Nobody can take you away. But you can walk away from God. Do we not read about apostates? apostates. Apostasia, they leave the faith. They walk away. They become part of the church of Laodicea. They're lukewarm. I don't want to be that. Neither do you. So what do? Hey, let's abide in Christ. And as we abide in Christ, we abide in His Word. As we abide in His Word, we'll follow His Word. As we follow His Word, guess what? We're going to bear fruit. And when we pray, He says, when you pray in my name, I will answer your prayers. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Thus, you are my disciples. Amen. Go back to Jeremiah. Our God changeth not. Amen. He says here in Jeremiah, you always remember, the Old Testament, they're all looking toward the Messiah to save their souls. We're all looking back at the Messiah that has saved our souls. So, same thing, same faith. What we get to discover, though, is the true understanding of the sacrifice that God would make for us, that He would send His only begotten Son to die for our sins, and how deeply God loves us. Amen. So we find, He says, I'll put you in a land flowing with milk and honey, verse 5, verse 6. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in that day, in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my word. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I'll bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, and they will not be able to escape. Though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not. They will not save them at all in time for their trouble. For according to the number of the cities, your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people or lift up a cry of prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many, and the holy flesh has passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. The Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit, with the noise of a great tumult. He has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. Sounds similar to John 15. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger and offering incense to Baal. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, Jeremiah says, against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. We don't want to hear about God. Don't talk to us about God. Don't mention God. Don't mention Jesus Christ. Can you believe that in our country? Don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. As if it's some foul, evil name. But these are the last days. You Christians, you're the problem with the world. You're the whole problem with the world. You guys think your way is the only way. We want to unite the world together. You're bigoted, you're prejudiced against others who don't believe like you. Can I ask you a question? Are we cutting people's heads off? Do we kill innocent babies in the womb? Do we like to practice immoral ways that spread STDs? Is not the Bible a book of virtue, a book of honesty, a book of integrity, a book that changes our lives? You don't want that in society? Would you rather us be drug addicts and alcoholics and live immorally? Get high, get wasted? Is that what you want us to do? But see, God is no longer revered in our nation, nor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's many that do. I know, I understand. There's a Christian church here still. Praise God. But the way things are going, it's less and less. And the government telling us whose name we can pray in and whose name we can't pray in. Stay strong, my friends. Stay strong. But, O Lord of hosts, you judge righteously, verse 20, testing the mind of the heart. Testing the mind and the heart. Let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth. Anathoth was a city. There are 48 Levitical cities, and this is one of the Levitical cities. They should have been worshiping God. But the way of Anathoth was to kill Jeremiah, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Stop preaching the Bible. People don't want to hear the Bible. People don't want to hear righteousness and holiness. We don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus. We don't want to hear about repentance. Don't talk to us about the cross. We want to talk about how to get rich quick. In fact, let's change the Bible. You know there's a homosexual Bible these days? They've completely changed it, yeah. They've produced their own. I'm sorry, it just won't work. You can't change the Bible. There's Bibles that remove the blood of Jesus Christ because that's offensive. No, my friends. That's why I'm a King James thumper. I read the New King James, but I like what's called the Textus Receptus, which the New King James was translated from. I believe it maintains the best translation of the original Word of God, not the Alexandrian text, which so many other Bibles are written from. You see, it's important for us to maintain the Word of God in all of its fullness and wholeness. Verse 20, and therefore says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. There shall be no remnant of them. For I'll bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. Then he says in chapter 12, righteous are you, O Lord. When I plead with you, you let me walk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there. Excuse me, because they said, you will not see our final end. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house and have not left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of your enemies. My heritage is to me with like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunders have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour. From one end of the land to the other end of the land, no flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but reap thorns. They have put themselves into pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their hand and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone is to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be if they will learn, here's your key, learn carefully the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. As we look to this passage of Scripture, as we look to what's happened, they had it with Josiah. King Josiah, they got into the Word of God. They got rid of the altars. They got rid of all the immoral practices. They had it. But then, after he was dead, they go back to their old ways. Peter says it's like a dog going back to its vomit. It's like a pig going back to the mire. My friends, stay in the Lord Jesus Christ. Live for him, love him, study his word, grow in his word. Let God use your life. He has great, great, great plans for you. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the flesh. Don't go back to the devil. God will bless you. God will take care of you. God will use you. Let's stand and pray. Father, as we look at our world and we look at the scriptures, we see that we're living in the last days. We see that your hand is upon your church, Philadelphia. You want to protect us. You want to guide us. You want to help us. You want to lead us. You say that we're a church of little strength. In other words, we're small compared to the rest of this world. But you are with us. May you strengthen every marriage. May you strengthen every family. May you strengthen every believer. May we love you. May we serve you. May we honor you. May we have a hunger and thirst for your word. We want to hear your voice and we want to obey your word. Forgive us, Lord, for the times where we haven't obeyed. We know that our salvation is not on shaky ground. It's on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So Lord God, may you guide us together as one in living for you and honoring you and serving you. May we pluck people out of the fire. Use us to reach the backsliders, Lord. Use us to reach the unsaved. Use us to reach people that are in false religious systems. Use us to reach people that are consumed in this world, even demon-possessed. Oh, Lord, anoint us and guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We are the Jeremiahs of these last days. We see what's coming down the road for planet Earth. Use us, Lord, we pray, to save as many as possible. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, my friend, you're going to hell. God doesn't want you to go there, but he won't force you to go to heaven. You have to make a willful decision to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You want Jesus Christ to save your soul? If you want to repent of your sins and have your sins forgiven, then please raise your hand. Anybody here not saved, you want to get saved? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Father, as we celebrate with family and friends tomorrow about the Memorial Day, and we recognize the great sacrifice so many have given for our freedoms, may we be able to share with family and friends about your love, your grace, and your tender mercies upon us. May you touch their hearts and their lives. May you open the door of their hearts, Lord. May we see that opportunity. May we step in and share the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great, wonderful God you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. We've got to share this great salvation, Lord. So use us in the workplace this week. Use us in the marketplace this week, Lord. Use us, however, across the world and the internet. Use us, Lord, to reach many. For the devil has deceived so many, and only you save. We love you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Ah, boy, my nose. All right, we survived. My nose and my throat. So let's see what the Lord has for us this week. Let's go for God. Wednesday night, it's going to be worship and praise and prayer evening. And so come on out and join us. We want to worship the Lord. We want to praise. We just finished our 12-week session. And this Wednesday night, we'll have worship and praise. And then we'll start another session coming up. All the classes will be listed, and you'll be good to go, okay? So check your bulletins. It's got all the information there. Also, we have a vacation Bible school coming up in June. Keep the kids in prayer. Keep the kids in prayer. We want to just fill this place up with as many kids as possible. Neighbor kids, heathen kids, whatever, because we're going to present the gospel to them. Amen? So if you got kids running around the neighborhood over the summer, hey, come to Vacation Bible School. What's that? It's fun. You like it. Come on. And bring them on down. Let's get them going for the Lord. Amen? And keep reaching people for Christ, folks. God will open those doors. God bless you. Love you. Take care.